Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, TGIF, on this Friday, April 19th, 2024. We are live here at WRCE, the old hometown in Richland Center. Mr. Zommer is our producer and engineer high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommer, it's great to see you cutting a little close. Traffic unprecedentedly bad on the way up on Highway 14, but we got it. We made it under the wire, and great to see you. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you as well.
How are things back in the old hometown in Madison? Are they our studio in Madison sunny like they are here in beautiful southwest Wisconsin?
It is quite sunny. I will say traffic was pretty bad here too in town, as it has really been for quite some time with all of the construction going on. Well, university, yes. Back down to one lane, and then driving further into downtown, a bunch of streets closed down to one lane. Also, it took me at least twice as long as it should to get into the station today.
One of those things, as we approach the new season, season.
Yeah, we're already in, Wisconsin's second season. We're well into road construction.
Indeed. We are here in Richland Center. I have a great show for you planned, a big show coming up at the bottom of the hour at 12:30. We'll be joined by fellow Richland Center native Brady Ewing, a three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badger football team, also spent 3 years in the NFL. Brady going to be joining us, following up a little bit the big news from Wisconsin Badger basketball yesterday, that both Chucky Hepburn and A.J. Storr in the transfer portal. A.J. Storr ends up at Kansas. There are reports that Chucky Hepburn may be headed to East Lansing to join Tom Izzo and the Spartans. So we shall see about that. We're going to talk to Brady about that and NIL and the changing focus of college sports. And then in hour two, going to have L.A. Film critic Tim Grierson join us. Great to have him from Los Angeles, and he's going to be reviewing the new film Civil War, kind of a big new hot movie based a little bit on current events. We'll talk to Tim Grierson live from Los Angeles about that. But right now, we are very pleased to be joined by our longtime friend and colleague here at Civic Media in the old RCE studios, Phil Nee, the station manager here at WRCE and the sister station, WRCO, Country and Community. Always great to have Phil along. He is a man of many hats and many talents. Mr. Nee, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. Always a pleasure to be on the show with you.
Well, it's always great to have you. Thank you for taking your time and being here today. As we said, of course, Phil does the morning show here, both the music show and the hour-long talk show on WRCO. You can listen to it at 9 o'clock, the talk show on the old Civic Media app if you don't live in Richland Center area. You also do high school sports, do a fantastic job with that, and you host Those Were the Days, the oldies and call-in request show every Saturday night, 6 until midnight. And today, Philip Nee, we're talking about one of our mutual interests, and that is vinyl, because today is National Record Store Day.
Yes, Saturday, the 20th of April, is, and it started in 2007, and at that time, people were starting to get back to vinyl, but now it's a worldwide craze. Yeah. It's amazing how new vinyl sells. You know, bands are putting out not CDs anymore. If they're putting out a physical copy, it's a vinyl record.
Yeah. No, I think it's incredible. And correct me if I'm wrong, but was it last year or this year that vinyl again started outselling any other CDs or anything like that? It's the highest distributed physical form of music now.
Yeah, it's been, I think, the last few years that's been the case. And it's amazing because I've been collecting records since I was 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And there was a time in the 1990s where I went to a record show in Milwaukee and I was the youngest one there. Everybody else was about 20 years older than me, and there was only about 6 people there. Uh-huh. And then fast forward to a few years ago, I'm at a show in Madison, and it's all college students and me, right. You know, so I was like at least 20 or 30 years older than them. So right. it really made a turnaround, but it became something that was in vogue. Mm-hmm. And I thought at the time, well, it'll be a passing phase. It's not been, it's just continues to grow. And last year for Record Store Day, Taylor Swift kind of blew the doors off because she had a special release. I don't think she has one this year, but it will still be big. Paramore is the host. They always have a host artist or group that is kind of like the spokesperson or persons for that day. So they are. The very first one back in 2008 was Metallica.
Really?
And sometimes they do like live in-store appearances, and some of your local record stores will have local live music in the store too.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. And now, what year did you start here at RCO?
1986.
And I started in 87. And so we were here for a lot of the late 80s and early 90s together. I remember, as well as you do, you know, when we changed over from vinyl to CDs, this was going to be, oh my gosh, no more skipping records, no more scratches. We thought it was fantastic. And I know there at the time was like, well, do we keep all this vinyl? And now it's all right back where it used to be.
I know, most definitely. I think CDs may make a comeback someday. Yeah. I don't know, because everybody like collects things that is to their youth, you know, that they feel passionate about or they grew up with. So it may. Cassettes have made somewhat of a comeback. Really? There are people that still collect cassettes. And 8-tracks even. There is a market out there for them.
Now, see, to me, 8-tracks are cooler than cassettes.
Yeah, they could be. They didn't work as well. They didn't last as long. You could buy a new 8-track in the store and put it in your car and it would break on the way home.
That's what I was going to say is, at least on a cassette, I don't have to flip it around in the middle of a song. Have it where like fades out and it click and fade back in.
Exactly. True, yeah. Because you'd be jamming with an 8-track and all of a sudden right in the middle of your favorite song, it fades out and goes, and then it fades back into the track. You know? Right?
So. I think maybe it's nostalgia, because I remember the first 8-track I remember listening to was in my mom and dad's Oldsmobile Delta 88. And they had the 8-track player right in the middle on kind of the hump there in the middle. And I would, you know, back before seatbelts, I would sit there as a kid, as a whatever, 7-8-year-old kid. And the first 8-track I remember listening to was Peter, Paul, and Mary, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Good memories.
Well, you know, I can't remember what I ate for lunch yesterday, but Phil, when did you, I know this is really a passion beyond radio. You started collecting vinyl and got into music at a really young age. What drew you to that? And when did you start collecting your own vinyl?
Well, a lot of it was listening to the radio. I grew up listening to classic top 40 radio. WLS out of Chicago was, you know, kind of the mainstay. And I would hear songs and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, I can go buy those on my own. So the first record I ever bought was the Shy Lights and Have You Seen Her, which came out in late 1971. And that'd be a good question for your listeners sometime. Yeah. Do you remember the first record that you ever went into the store and bought?
Wow. You know? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And so maybe you can use that someday. But that was mine. And then I kind of started to try to collect. I'm going to see if I can get the top 5 songs. So I try to. And at that time, they were like 69 cents a piece for the little records. Yeah. And that was a lot of chore money. I'll tell you what, trying to to raise those funds.
Right.
But after all these years, I've still, you know, 5,000 albums and like 10,000 45s later, I'm still,
doing it.
I believe, well, about 5,000. 33s and about 10,000 the little ones, and then probably 1,000 or a couple thousand CDs too. So it's a sickness, it's a habit.
I wouldn't call it a sickness. I think it's cool.
My wife says I'm a hoarder, you know. So what do you do?
What do you do? But if you're hoarding, really, you're hoarding history, really.
Yeah.
I mean, when you, there was a story, and I can't remember who it was, someplace, I think in New Hampshire, and it was Anthony Mason on CBS Sunday Morning, probably a month or two ago, and they found this guy that had one of the largest vinyl collections and is being housed in like these barns up in New Hampshire, but now they've got to move. They're looking for a new place to, but I mean, he was going through and explained to folks the value of some of these when they're a misprint, whether it's on the artwork, whether it's on the record itself.
Uh-huh. Some of those are where it was, you know, maybe they put the same on both sides, you know, some of those, the value, a lot of times people think if it's a Beatles or a Elvis or whatever, that it's automatically worth money. That's not true, because they made millions of those.
Right.
Ones that are more valuable are the ones that they didn't make as many. And some of the newer ones, because they quit making vinyl in the early 90s for a time. Mm-hmm. So if you have Metallica, Van Halen, Guns N' Roses from like 1990, 91, 92. Mm. They didn't make very many of those. Wow. Many of them were only available through a record club that you may have, you know, you had to like order, you'd be a member of the club or whatever. Yeah. And so those are more valuable. And sometimes one hit wonder group, you know, that you've never heard of. You're like, who are these guys? And you look up the album and you're like, oh, they only made 500 copies. It's worth $300.
Wow.
So, but that's never been my intent. I mean, I have some valuable albums, but I don't know that I'll ever sell them. My kids will probably throw them in the dumpster when I'm gone, but
I hope not. I mean, it is a piece of part of Americana. We're talking to Phil Nee, the station manager here at WRCO, WRCE in Southwest Wisconsin, and host of Those Were the Days, great oldies program every Saturday from 6 until midnight. If you don't live in Southwest Wisconsin, you can simply download the Civic Media app right to your cell phone on Apple or Android and listen each and every Saturday night. It's worth a listen, Phil. And I'm sure if you know, people listen in Green Bay or Superior, if they listen to the app and call in a request, you'd take that.
Absolutely. Or text in a request. But we've been getting it. It's been nice to have that expanded audience and getting some response around the state and in the country, too.
Yeah, no, that's still cool. A couple of minutes here, a minute and a half before the first break, we'll come back. Talk a little bit about tomorrow being Record Store Day. I know Richland Center now has a record store. Madison, I know. What are some of your favorite record stores in Wisconsin you've been to?
Well, there are a lot. Of them. Madison has got some of the best ones right there. With they have B-Side Records on State Street. They have Mad City Music. They have Strictly Discs. Those are three that really are stalwarts. They're in West Bend. There is an exclusive company, and those used to be a chain, but I think this one is independently owned. Very good store. Musical Memories in Milwaukee is another good one that I haven't been to in a few years, but love going there. And I actually have been in record stores all over the world. I've been when we went to Switzerland and France and Germany. Oh, yeah, it's fun to go in there. Sometimes they have like more American artists than we do sometimes in those stores.
But isn't that cool, though, Phil, is that I find that two things, music and sports, transcend politics. They transcend states, nations. It's a unifying thing, right?
Absolutely. It definitely is. It's something that we can all agree on. And that's why it's fun to be on the air on Saturday nights, because you have people calling in from all political affiliations and all walks of life, and nobody cares. They just think it's a good song. Right?
Yeah. Nobody asks if you're wearing a red or green hat. They just want to hear the Beatles.
Absolutely.
Or red or blue hat.
Red or blue, yeah. They have a red or blue album, actually. Greatest hits album.
Really?
Yeah, sure. The red one from 62 to 66 and the blue one 67 to 70.
We're going to come back and talk with Phil Nee here at WRCE in Richland Center, ask him what some of his favorite albums are, and give us a call or text in as well. What's your first album or favorite one? Give us a call here or text in at the Civic Media Network. This is the Todd Allbowl Show on location at Richland Center on the Civic Media Radio Network. National Record Store Day across America. It is tomorrow, 4/20, a day that's probably known for something else, but for those of us that like vinyl, it is National Record Store Day tomorrow. We're talking with Phil Nee, station manager here at WRCE, WRCO. We're on location in Southwest Wisconsin. Also host of Those Were the Days, great oldies call-in radio program every Saturday night, 6 until midnight. You can listen to it on WRCO in Richland Center, 100.9 FM on your dial, or also on the Civic Media app. Give us a call. What's your favorite record? First record, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Also text us on the Civic Media app. Phil, any particulars that come to mind, like one that you're just like, wow, I guess when you just need to like meditate, I think those of us who enjoy music, there are certain albums or artists that it's like, when I just need to chill and reflect, I put on a certain album or song. What is that album or song for you?
Yeah, it probably varies, but Mr. Zomers just played my walk-up song, Light My Fire. The Doors are always a go-to. is going to have on, and they don't sound like anybody else. They're pretty unique.
Yeah. Oh, they absolutely. Really great. Mr. Zomers, any texts there off the text line we want to make sure we get to?
Yeah. Talking about albums, early albums that people have, Sherry in Horicon says that her first one was Abbey Road.
Ooh. Oh, that's really? A quality first one, right?
Wow,
there.
Right?
And talking about the exclusive company, that since it was franchised, the exclusive company went under. But PJ comments and says that the one that in West Bend is now called The Beat Goes On, since they couldn't keep that name.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome.
The Beat Goes On in West Bend. There you go.
I just remember it being very, very good, where they had a lot of like old stock stuff and new stuff.
Yeah. So. I also think my nieces are big thrifters. Now you have kids. Are any of them thrifters? They get into like going to the Goodwill stores and all that?
Not as much.
Really. All right.
You know, in this day and age, it seems like the younger generation, I sound really old, but they're not into like physical stuff. Like,
right.
They want to get rid of stuff.
Right. Well, my nieces are more into like thrifting for clothes, you know, that sort of thing. But I've gone into some of these, you know, Goodwill stores or St. Vitie's. Some of them, occasionally, you'll find, you know, a little vinyl section, and you'll find a gem there for, you know, a couple of bucks.
Yeah, I've done that a lot over the years. Right? Sure, yeah. I wouldn't say anything that's real valuable, but sometimes just kind of filling in some gaps and things like that. And
right.
Sometimes it's fun. I mean, $2, you can take a chance on
right?
something.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Say, hey, this is pretty good.
Same thing with like antique stores and antique malls. They'll always have certain, you know, consignment areas where there's a bunch of crates of records. And sometimes you look through there and it's like, yeah, I'm not going to pay $30 for this. And other ones you look through and they're that $2 each, but all of them are the same artist and the same like two or three albums. And it's like, seriously? But then if you keep digging, you do find some gems eventually.
You're right. Yeah, it's worth a dig once in a while.
Off the text line, Tom in Florida says, who's collecting 78s? I've got a bunch of them.
Ooh.
Wow.
78s, you know, that's a little bit more of a smaller market.
Right.
A lot of them are not worth much because they're very breakable. People are scared to collect them. Oh, yeah. I mean, you just bump them. They break sometimes. But if you do have some early rock and roll, if you have Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis, some of those on Sun Records, obviously, those are extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. Those are worth it. There's a collectible market there. And believe it or not, there are people that have jukeboxes that only play 78s. And there are some people that might want to buy those just to stock their jukebox.
Also, we have Duffy in Mount Horeb saying that, listening on WMDX in Madison, the Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
Ooh.
That one there. Also, Chris Casper on WMDX saying, my favorite way to purchase music is going to be going to a show and then buying vinyl at a show. But if all they offer a full resolution digital download, not MP3s, it's the best of both worlds. You can get the large artwork and the vinyl, but also a way to do it digitally as well. So that's cool, right?
That's well said. And some of these groups will tell you that they make money off the merch. You know, they don't necessarily make it anymore off the records being played or downloaded. It's more the merch.
855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Our ongoing contributor and friend and former colleague here at WRCO, Jeff Perry, on the line. Mr. Perry, thanks for calling in. What say you, sir?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. My first album was the Beatles Red album, the Greatest Hits compilation where they're looking out the building. And I was 4 or 5 years old, and my dad may or may not have pilfered it from the WRCO studios. I can't. If that had happened,
theoretically,
the statute of limitations is over. But
you're safe. I think.
I still have it. It's not playable any longer, but I do still have it.
Oh, what a great greatest hits too, Jeff. And they just re-released that last year and added some additional tracks. So it's an awesome.
Really, some great remixes by Giles Martin too of some of the songs. They sound just amazing.
Yeah, they're fun. I've had a chance to play some of those on the air too, and I hear things that, oh man, I've never heard that before. That's kind of cool.
Jeff, while we got you on the air here, I always like to plug your Jeff's still in broadcasting a little bit on the side over at WVMO, a great community station in Monona. Folks, tell Jeff folks when your show is on and what you're looking at this week.
Well, it's on Wednesday nights at 8 and Saturday mornings at 9. Now, this weekend on WVMO, we're doing Vinylthon. We're playing all records for 48 hours on the air. And I'll be on the air at 9 tomorrow doing my regular show. And then we're doing a show called Vinyl A Go-Go at noon for 2 hours. The topics are Vinyl A Go-Go Goes to Jail and Vinyl A Go-Go Goes to the Zoo. All songs that fit those categories.
I like those.
That's awesome, Jeff. Good to hear you're still doing it in radio. Once that broadcast bug bites you, sometimes it's hard to shake that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be here had it not been for sitting on Philney's front porch and deciding when he goes, well, you know what they say, you never forget your first love, and radio is your first love, and you're absolutely right.
Yep, and here you are, a statewide star now.
I wouldn't say star, but they had a couple hours they had to fill, and I was available, so I said, sure. Jeff, thanks for calling in, my friend. Have a great day. Phil, a couple minutes left here.
Thanks,
people who are thinking, you know, I'd love to get into it. How would you recommend someone? Well, you know, what's kind of an entry-level record player cost? Nothing fancy. And then how would you get into it if you wanted to collect vinyl?
Well, there are all kinds of levels of the record players, but I would say you could spend probably, if you spent $200, you're going to have a real quality one.
Yeah.
I've got one in my office I spent $100 on just to kind of have to preview things, and it works just fine as well. So somewhere in that ballpark.
Will add, if you go below $100, you're likely to buy something that's going to damage your records. Like if you buy those little portable ones at Walmart, you're just going to break them.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's a good point. But as Mr. Zommers mentioned too, you know, going to the thrift stores and you can find some $2 records, you can get a collection going pretty well, pretty cheaply. The ones I'll be looking at tomorrow during record store day, most of those are in your probably $25 to $50 range, you know, the new vinyl.
What's like coming up on those for the days on Saturday, Phil?
Well, we're going to highlight the British invasion, and I'm going to go back in my archive. I've had the opportunity to interview a lot of the British invasion stars. So Mike Smith of the Dave Clark Five and Mike Pender of the Searchers and Billy J. Kramer of the Dakotas, featuring some of those songs, and then the Animals and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and all that stuff from the mid-60s.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That sounds fantastic. About 30 seconds left, but one of the Allman Brothers passed away yesterday.
Yeah, Dickie Betts.
Yeah. So that was a loss, but some great music, and it's the legacy of music that lives on.
Absolutely, Todd.
You can remember it every Saturday night, 6 until midnight. Those were the days with Phil Neath. Phil, thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for asking.
Back with Brady Ewing on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We're live on location. WRCE in Richland Center on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Standing there on that lawn, discount shades, store-bought tan, flip-flops and cut-off jeans. Somewhere between that setting sun, I'm on fire, I'm born to run. You looked at me and I was done, but we were just getting started. I was singing to you.
Welcome back to the Todd Allman Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location in beautiful southwest Wisconsin, the home of WRCE, our network station here in the beautiful Driftless. Happens to be my hometown. With that music, it means only one thing, a fellow Richland Center native, Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion, three Rose Bowls, and then went on to play 3 years in the NFL. Threes are wild for Brady Ewing. He joins us once again on a Friday. Mr. Ewing, how the heck are you?
Doing awesome. Got a little turkey hunting in this morning before work, got kicked off, took out my oldest son, and it's a good start to the day to see the sunrise, birds singing, turkeys gobbling. So, good time.
Right there. That's as my former teacher Ken Lewis likes to say, you know, a good time had by all. I mean, you turkey hunt with your son, you watch the sun rise, you hear the birds chirping, and a little music. I mean, what's better than that? I mean, that's fantastic.
It's been a great day. So, excited to talk with you and make it even better here.
Well, we've talked before about turkey hunting with you. You're a big turkey hunter, and you know, I have in the past. I haven't in a few years, but I love to do it when I can. It's a big event for so many sports people throughout the state of Wisconsin. I didn't know what season you had, but it seemed like pretty good weather this morning, and the forecast for the weekend, you should have a pretty good weekend as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is the first season, started on Wednesday. I had a work event here throughout the week at Cheese Expo over in Milwaukee, where people that are in the cheese industry or dairy industry come from all over the world to Milwaukee every other year, and just a really, really cool event. So this was the first day I was able to get out and the weather was about perfect this morning before the wind picked up, and the birds were gobbling. Saw a bird out about 65, 70 yards, but couldn't get him to close the distance.
you weren't calling well enough. Wasn't interested.
I didn't sound good enough. Good enough to get him in to 65, 70 yards, but not enough to close that final. You know,
now, this fascinates me because I've never been good. I use a box call. I'm not particularly great at it, but I love trying. What do you use for a call?
I like using a slate call. We were in a blind this morning, so I like using a slate call. You can get away with a little bit of that movement. As they get in closer, I like to use the diaphragm call where you actually put it in your mouth and make the calls that way. So it cuts down on some of the movement and sounds a little bit more realistic with some of the intricacies you can bring with your tongue and the air pressure, things like that.
Yeah. It's an art. I mean, if people don't understand ever gone, unlike other types of hunting, turkey hunting is not something you just go and necessarily sit with a weapon. You have to work at it. You have to call in the bird. You have to mimic a bird. And, you know, that's what I love about it is the, I don't know, I think it's the most challenging type of hunting you can do.
Absolutely. It's the most interactive for sure. Mm-hmm. And taking out my oldest son, who's 9, he was just tagging along. That's why he loved it this morning was, you know, we heard the birds gobbling. I would call, they would respond. Crows would call and they would shot gobble. So it's the fact that it's not only are you out in nature, but you're also interacting with, you know, a wild creature and, you know, having some say in the game and the anticipation, I think that's a big part of it is,
right.
You know, as you hear that gobble getting closer and closer, see the, you know, turkey strutting and the fan coming up over the hillside is just awesome experience. So really cool that I got to share that with them this morning.
Well, I'm glad you got to do that. And as I said, best of luck as your season continues and best of luck to all the sports people around the state of Wisconsin. If you are turkey hunting this spring, do so safely, but get out there and enjoy it. We were talking, Brady, in the last segment with our mutual friend here, Phil Nee, station manager at RCO-RCE, talking about tomorrow being National Record Store Day and vinyl. I mean, you're kind of in the in-between generation, right? I mean, vinyl really wasn't big when you were younger, but have you gotten into it as, you know, through college and post-college, or are you still kind of more of a streaming type of digital guy?
I haven't gotten into it much. It's always fascinating when people, you know, have their collections and the nostalgia that, you know, records bring to them. Mm-hmm. I never personally had gotten into it much, so more of a streaming. I still have my CD collection, so that would be, you know, I guess more up my alley, but yeah, I have my big binder full of CDs, a lot of different country ones, and some burned ones from back in the day.
No, I'm old enough where I have some vinyl, I have a cassettes, I have CDs. I think it depends on when you were born or how you kind of came up or when you came up, what you have. But no, do you have a particular CD? What's your first CD you remember buying as a kid?
One of Josh Turner's albums. So I was a big Josh Turner fan growing up and just loved having his albums and listening to them from beginning to end. You know, streaming's great. And I can remember getting my first MP3 player and loading it with songs and just being mind blown that, you know, you didn't have to have a CD to listen to. You could have this little MP3 player or a, you know, Apple MP3 player and have all your music on there. It was just mind blown. But, you know, being able to have a CD and actually listen through the album and, you know, the artistry of one song to the next and just kind of the whole approach that the artist took on the album, I always appreciated that. And Josh Turner was one of the first people to do that for me.
Well, music brings up a lot of memories for a lot of folks, and I think music is associated with athletics. And we're talking with Brady Ewing, 3-time Big Ten champion for the Wisconsin Badger football team. He spent 3 years in the NFL for Atlanta and Jacksonville. Certainly, jump around that's played at the camp. You know, between the third and fourth quarter, people associate music with that. I would say, Brady, as a Badger fan, I'd like you to talk as an alum. Not necessarily a happy day for a lot of us Badger fans. yesterday on the basketball front. AJ Storr, of course, who was already in the transfer portal for the men's basketball team, announced he was on his way to Kansas, not going into the NBA draft after all. And then really the one that I think at least stunned me was Chucky Hepburn, the star guard for point guard for Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers, who has a Badger, Bucky Badger tattoo on his bicep, announced he was in the portal, and there are reports that he may be on his way to East Lansing with Tom Izzo. That's unconfirmed at this hour. But what are your thoughts on Chucky specifically going in the portal, but more so, Brady, on the overall, the whittling away of NIL and the portal at what we used to know as college athletics?
Yeah. Speaking to Chucky first, it's pretty heartbreaking, actually, just to see, you know, how loyalty has continued to wane in college athletics. And we've talked about it a lot over the last, you know, 6-8 months, but it's just another example of, you know, where I think college athletics is headed. And I fear that it's only going to get more so this way, where it's, you know, kind of a free agency without contracts. And it's every year, these coaches, it seems like, are going to have to build a team. You know, in Chucky's situation, it's very unfortunate for the Badgers and Badger fans, especially with, you know, 4 or 5 other guys jumping into the transfer portal, AJ Storr being a meaningful one, but others as well that were, you know, a Sejan and some other bench strengths. So it's unfortunate. And I think both for the Badgers, but also just, you know, programs in general, fans too. I mean, I look at it from an outsider's perspective, and it changes my perspective a little bit on college sports and the way that the athletes are approaching it now. I think really the only hope I see that might be out there is, you know, you really, you know, or I guess when I think of Chucky Hepburn transferring, one of the things that might have pushed him towards that is some of his teammates transferring, not only giving him perspective on what opportunities might be out there financially or otherwise, but also just that brotherhood, you know, that he probably created with his teammates. He feels like he's lost that a little bit. So not only is Wisconsin, that W, important, at least it was to me, but more importantly, you play for the brothers that are alongside of you. And I can imagine that as he saw some of his teammates that he's developed relationships with transferring, the opportunities they were seeing, it kind of opened his eyes that it wasn't going to be the same Wisconsin that he might have known here in the last couple of years.
We're talking to Brady Ewing, a former Big Ten, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badger football team. And you also talked to Bo Ryan, I know, at one point about walking on for the basketball team as well. You were a great high school basketball player as well as football. Brady, I sent you this last night. I thought the best story I saw on Chucky Hepburn's transfer was by Jim Polzine from the Wisconsin State Journal. You can check it out at Wisconsin State Journal, either online or in the paper. Also on Badger Extra. And to paraphrase a little bit here, you know, and Jim's a guy, reporter, who's been around this team a long time. And he was taking us back to March 2nd after Illinois had beat Wisconsin at home 91-83. It was also that night very emotional as Howard Moore returned after nearly 4.5 years after that tragedy when he and his family went through a car crash, which took his wife and daughter in that crash. He finally made it back to the Kohl Center for a big return. And Chucky Hepburn, the question was asked to Tyler Wall about the perspective of what it meant. And Chucky Hepburn, who actually asked to answer it as well, and just went on to say, quote, "That's why I love wearing the Badger jersey. It means more than just playing basketball. It's playing the sport. I'm really proud to be a Badger and will always be proud to be a Badger," unquote. And Polzine says it was moments like that that said, you know, I really thought that Chucky would be a Badger for life. And he basically goes on to say, you know, I guess I got duped, in my words, not his. He says, quote, how foolish on my part in retrospect to draw that conclusion, unquote. That's the line from Polzine. And he basically goes on to say, look, this is all about, as my former UW Platteville communication professor was fond of saying, it all comes down to the dollar sign. And Polzine in his article basically says, it's all about money now. Brady Ewing, agree, disagree? What are your thoughts?
I I agree. I mean, it depends on the person, but I would have to agree, especially in this situation, is, you know, clearly there were people in Chucky's ear about opportunities out there that he weren't financially, that he wasn't able to get at Wisconsin. I guess I'm jumping to conclusions there, but, you know, I don't think it takes away from that brotherhood that he's a part of at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, did he not stay loyal his whole time through? He didn't, but, you know, he was a part of some great teams with a huge cog in that. But yeah, you look at the long-term opportunities that might have been if, you know, he comes back for his final year and is able to put another great season out there, you know, with that Badger network and things like that. But yeah, it's unfortunate. And I think this is just one example, anecdotal feedback that we've seen a lot this offseason of what is to come in college sports. Yeah. Look how many people jumped in the transfer portal from the football team, basketball team, and, you know, to be able to compete, it's going to change the recruiting landscape year to year. It's going to be crazy and stressful for those coaches, for the fans, and it's just going to change the college sports landscape.
Let me about a minute here before the first break, Brady. Let me flip it for a second. You had a very successful college career, pretty healthy. You went into the NFL, and I, you know, my opinion, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe your NFL career was shortened to 3 years, largely because of injury. As someone who went through that, you know, can you blame a guy like Chucky Hepburn, who John Roach was on the program yesterday? You know, he's one knee injury away from being done. Can you blame him if he cashes out for an extra $250K?
It's hard to, honestly, because I've said all of that. You know, what I said here earlier in the conversation, that, you know, that loyalty isn't there, and as a fan, it's tough to see. But as somebody that's lived and quote unquote died by their body with their their athletic performance, I get trying to take advantage of the opportunity while you have a shelf life per se. So yeah. It's somewhat understandable.
Going to come back, talk more with Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger, 3 years in the NFL, an all-around great guy, also a great turkey hunter. We'll talk more with Brady Ewing live from Richland Center at WRCE on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at WRCE in Richland Center, Southwest Wisconsin, hometown, not just myself, but more importantly, Brady Ewing, our guest this half hour, former three-time Wisconsin Badger, I should say three-time Big Ten champion as a Wisconsin Badger. He actually stayed all 4 years and played all 4 years at Wisconsin. We were talking, he spent 3 years in the NFL as well. Glad to have you back, Brady. We talked about this or texted last night a little bit about this. I want to get your perspective because speaking of people that stayed, for me, being a fan of Wisconsin Badger, I did not have the academic prowess and certainly not the athletic prowess to get a scholarship or even to walk on at Wisconsin. But my two godsons went there, have degrees and doing great. I think it's a great institution. It's a great university. You've certainly been successful with your degree beyond athletics in your life. But you look at guys like you, who walked on from our little hometown of Richland Center, and you walked on and you earned a scholarship and you became a three-time Big Ten champion and you played the granddaddy of them all out in California. Seeing you go through that and getting to live vicariously through you is just, as a fan, that's what it's all about. Guys like Brad Davidson, who stayed all 4 years for Wisconsin basketball, threw out his shoulder numerous times, and the trainer had to play Mr. Miyagi behind the stadium bleachers there and send him back in on the next timeout, and he gutted out, and they won a Big Ten championship. I mean, that just gives you chills. It gives you tears. It is this shared experience for me between fan and athlete that makes college sports what it is. Is that gone? I'm not pointing the finger at Chucky Hepburn or anybody in particular, but what's happening in college sports today, is that gone? And do players feel the same way about it that I just described as a fan?
I don't know if it's gone. I think you're always going to have guys that have that loyalty and have that deep-rooted connection to the university or something bigger than themselves, whether that's the team, whether that's the, you know, the program that they're playing for, you know, like you mentioned with me for Wisconsin. Like, it was deeper than just getting a scholarship and going across the country because I got a scholarship to go play somewhere or I knew a coach. You know, it was deeper than that to me, not only for my connection with Madison, the university, and just the dreams that I had. So I think you're always going to have that, but you look at what we've been talking today with the transfer portal in basketball, or, you know, guys protecting their interests more and more as they prepare for bowl games or the back half of their season in football, you know? So it's with the name, image, likeness stuff, with the transfer portal stuff, it's just making, I guess, guys look more selfishly, you know, long-term as far as what's the financial impact. You know, at the end of the day, you know, college athletics never historically, it was about playing and competing and having that chance to go to the next level, but it was about being a student athlete. And I feel like that's continuing to evolve and change. I guess we're all seeing that, but then you look at the professional athletic landscape, it's all about taking advantage of those opportunities to, as a job, you know, so it's a different thing, but now we're seeing these two worlds merge together. And so not only is it kind of showing guys and what their motivation is a little bit more, or girls in their sports, but it's also, I think, reframing younger kids' mindset as they go into college and get recruited. And even you look at WIAA, aren't they voting on
next
the potentials
week
of name, image, likeness at the high school
next
level?
Week.
So it's gonna
next week.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I saw something on the news about that, or read an article about it here recently, and that would change things dramatically and muddy the waters further as you look at recruiting, you know, local name, image, likeness stuff is what I think it's designed for, you know, a local restaurant or something, you know, doing a billboard with the kids, like maybe that's the genesis of it, but I think it's only going to open the waters for recruiting to get muddier and muddier out of high school.
Yeah. Well, what's your quick take on it, Brady? Would you be in favor of name, image, or likeness coming to high school athletics in Wisconsin?
I don't think so. We're going to have to draw the line. And, you know, we're going to have to draw the line somewhere. There's got to be more clarity brought to it at the college level. And I just think it's, without having that, it's way too early to let things trickle down to the high school level right now. How about you, Todd?
I totally agree. I just think you got to let kids be kids. And, having a 16-year-old athlete, I mean, there was an 11-year-old kid, and he looked like a decent basketball player for an 11-year-old, but there is a tape out there. I forget what sports, like recruiting thing for college basketball, but somebody's floating around a tape of an 11-year-old. I mean, you know, and it was like he's the class of whatever, 2037 or something like that. I can't remember. But, I mean, this is where we're at. And I think at some point you got to let kids be kids. And if you got parents of middle schoolers trying to make NIL deals, I just think that takes something away.
You know? Yeah, I agree 100%. And there's always been an aspect of that in the past where, you know, AAU teams were sponsored by certain shoe companies. And, you know, it was all, you know, LeBron's team growing up or different teams growing up where they're like, okay, we know this kid's going to be special long-term. We want to try to get our brand in front of this kid to try to steer him either to choose our, you know, brand in the future or, you know, different marketing things like that. There's always been different aspects of that, especially in the basketball world. But this is only going to muddy those waters more and more, take away from young kids' experience and priorities as far as trying to enjoy the sport. I mean, the reality of it is there's a very, very small percentage of high school athletes will play, you know, college athletics. And college athletics is not the end-all be-all. I mean, I enjoyed high school athletics and playing in front of Richland Center community, playing with friends that I grew up with my whole life. That was some of my most enjoyable time in athletics, you know, outside of college and some of the people I met and experiences I've had. And
pursuing the NFL. And I hope kids can continue to enjoy that for themselves, for their families, as they strive towards their goals, no doubt, but enjoy the process and the journey to get there.
About a minute left, Brady. For those people, I know you've done a little bit of inspirational speaking, a little bit of life coaching out there to high school groups or to athletic groups. Are you still interested in doing that as we approach this summer?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Todd. Yeah, it's been fun, both working with individuals, but also athletic departments and sports teams to help provide perspectives like we talk about on here and share some of my experiences and hopefully help them pursue their dreams, their goals, and all they do, community, school, athletics, whatever it is.
If you'd like to reach Brady Ewing, give us a call here or a text or an email at the station or the Tylenol Ball Show. We'll put you in touch. You will not go wrong. Brady Ewing, great guy. Thanks so much, Brady. Appreciate you. See you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Todd. Yep.
Back with more Hour 2 of the Tylenol Ball Show on Civic Media.